A new book explores what America means and what it means to be an American. Some 36 historians, commentators, and writers contributed essays. Interspersed among the writings are more than 300 photographs and illustrations. Author David Halberstam edited the collection, which is titled Defining a Nation, Our America, and the Sources of Its Strength. It's published by National Geographic.
You know, the book is sort of like all of us doing a Valentine to someone we love, that we have ongoing arguments with, but who has enriched our lives. It isn't a person, it's a country.
I talked to Halberstam about the country, and some NPR colleagues read excerpts from some of the essays. The book begins with geography. Halberstam says America's isolation between two oceans has profoundly shaped its identity.
I don't think you can understand America, our pluses and our minuses, without understanding the impact of the oceans on us, on our foreign policy. I mean, the rest of the world thinks we're, as you know, imperialist, and in our hearts, we're isolationist. So the oceans shape us. And we have a very good piece in there on this by Jim Hogue, who's now the editor of Foreign Affairs Magazine and was the editor of the Chicago Sun-Times. And Jim has written on the effect of the oceans on the American national character.
From pioneer days to the present, a sense of geographic security has shaped the American imagination. The early settlers were keenly aware that keeping a certain distance from the old world was critical in their hopes for a more equitable society. In the new world, they had to contend with untamed forests and hostile natives, but not with oppressive aristocracies or powerful neighbors to the north and south. Physical separation and bountiful nature were the ultimate luxuries for the new nation. It could forge a path-breaking democracy and get rich with only limited threats from established great powers. James Hogue.
If you look at France and England, very similar to what they were at the start of the 20th century. And if you look at America and compare it to the America of 1903, it's a completely different country. Bigger, stronger, more dynamic. Much of that good, some of it not so good. But what were the sources of this? And we've got a wonderful piece by Lee Bollinger, who's the head of Columbia now, is the head of Michigan, on the land-grant colleges. My old pal Marty Nolan, the former editor of the Boston Globe editorial page, has a great piece on the highway program.
It is characteristically American that the greatest public works project in the history of the planet would be devoted to a journey, not a destination. The interstate changed the landscape, the economy, and leisure habits. Earlier automobiles were named for tycoons and designers, Chrysler, Ford, Olds, Packard. In the 1930s, when motoring meant a leisurely Sunday drive, cars carried historic names of explorers, DeSoto, Hudson. But cars of the 1960s evoked creatures of the wild, cougar, stingray, and the popular Mustang. Martin F. Nolan.
Another thing I like about the country is you can reinvent yourself. People do it all the time. Or they come here from somewhere else and become someone new.
There's a great story I use along that line about I.I. Robbie, the great physicist who was part of the Manhattan Project, and he had come from the old country. I think he was born in Austria, come here as a relatively young man. And he won the Nobel Prize. And a journalist went out to his apartment to ask him what he thought. And he said, "What do I think? I think in the old country, I would have been a tailor." And I think this runs again through us, that we have more chance here in one generation. And I'm aware that there are those who, the children of slavery, whose way is much harder, and that's certainly emphasized in the book. But there's more chance here to rise above in one generation, and particularly the GI Bill. I think Dick Reeves' piece on the GI Bill, not just as an educational instrument, but as a social instrument.
The GI Bill changed almost everything in the United States. The college experience took millions of young men and women to places they never expected to see, enabling them to meet people they never would have met in the years before the war. Until then, most Americans married the girl or boy next door, someone they went to school or church with, someone like themselves. Suddenly, Catholic boys from Pennsylvania were marrying Protestant girls from California and going to Washington to work. Richard Reeves.
One of the things I try and deal with is the creation of an American national character. I've got a wonderful piece in here by a young woman who teaches at Yale Law School, who's of Chinese background. Her parents were from China, Amy Chua. And it's a wonderful piece because she talks about her father as sort of the perfect American. I talk about Felix Gutierrez's piece about the Hispanic migration. Maybe they were here before. A lot of people who think that they were here first. We've got a Mike Kaufman talking about the immigrant experience, and he's comes from a Holocaust surviving family. And then, of course, in addition, there is this overall vision done by Vartan Gregorian of what America means to the rest of the world and the gift of its generosity.
There were, however, some troubling and disappointing realities about America that confronted me too. Naively, I had thought that all the racial issues in America had been settled in the aftermath of the Great Civil War and with the issuance of Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. So I was shocked to see segregation, discrimination, ghettoization, and poverty, especially in a land that provided such a wealth of opportunities to immigrants. It was tragically ironic, I thought, that immigrants from distant lands should in many cases be welcomed and treated better and find more doors open to them than native-born African Americans and other Americans of color. Still, for me, in America there was always much more good than bad, because Americans always attempted in good faith to deal with vexing issues. Vartan Gregorian.
All of these people have a different vision of what makes America what it is. You would think if you assigned 50 people, they might overlap in two-thirds of the cases.
Well, I think one of the things we wanted was not to have a uni voice, you know, one of those bland Encyclopedia Britannica voices, which, you know, everybody seems to be the same person, have the same voice, and feel the same way. It's about the complexity of love of a country, that you can love your country, believe in it, argue with it. There's always a sense, even though America is imperfect, it is also more perfectible than other nations.
David Halberstam is editor of Defining a Nation, Our America, and the Sources of Its Strength, published by National Geographic.